Kia ora koutou katoa, no mai haere mai. Hello and welcome to Inspired Church Albany podcast. We are a Jesus-centered church that believes in the power of God to transform lives. No matter where you're from, who you are, we pray that this message will bless you and launch you into everything God has for you. Enjoy this message on this month's theme, One Heart.
First port of call, when something goes wrong, you know how we run around and try and fix it? Stop and pray, and you'll be amazed what God does in your life. It's just so exciting. I need to get on to my sermon. Okay, Jesse's supposed to be preaching this morning, so you can pretend I'm Jesse. And if this is really bad, hit him. Okay, this is our one heart, be joined together in perfect unity. I looked this up in the Passion Bible. I love the Passion Bible. I like words, and I like words that paint a picture. That's why I love reading, because it's like you can go into this world, a different world, and it's so exciting. In Philippians 2:2, it says, so I'm asking you, he's asking. I'm asking you, and then it goes, my friends. God is always so gentle and nice with his words. That you be joined together in perfect unity, in one heart, one passion, and united in one love. You know, when I look at you all, you know, you're all a little bit difficult, and I'm a little bit difficult, to be quite honest, if you talk to Don. And, you know, with my OCD and tidiness. But, you know, like it says, one heart, one passion, united in one love. You know, we can only do that as we fill ourselves up with Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength. Walk together in one harmonious purpose. Doesn't that sound good? And you will fulfill my heart. And you will fill my heart with unbounding joy. Just those little things there, it says, we don't have to perform miracles. We don't have to do, mind you, it's a miracle to do all those things, I know. But we don't have to do something extraordinary. He says, if you just do those things, you will fill my heart with unbounding joy. How easy is that? And so I was thinking about walking in this purpose here. And really, the only way we can do this is by walking in covenant with Jesus Christ. What he has done for us, you know, when we meet difficult people in our lives, we've got to remember back to what we were like before we were saved. And we weren't a pretty picture. We were like that prodigal son, smelly and dirty and not nice. But we made that decision one day to walk towards God. And God's like that father. He ran towards us and he threw his cloak over us. And he spread his love over us. And you know, this is what we've got to walk here. It says here, one heart, one passion, united in one love. And I think we've seen this with our nation in the last week. If we walk in love and unity, all the other stuff sort of that we quibble over, the small things, go away. And you know, we've heard so much quibbling over whether we should do it this way or that way, but you know, we just had to pray. We didn't have to put head coverings, and we didn't have to pray to Allah. We just pray. Just pray with a sincere heart for people that are hurting and broken. You know, I've seen so many things up on Facebook quibbling over things, but you know, God just wants us to love and pray. But anyway, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and we're going to go there, and it's, you've read it numerous times, and I have. If you turn to 1 Samuel 18, who's got their Bibles? Yeah? Don't you love your Bible? I do. When I'm going away on holiday, it's the first thing I put in my bag is my Bible, and it's so heavy. I have to take it on my carry-on luggage because it's too heavy for my suitcase. I wouldn't be able to put all those shoes and things like that in. Is that right? And it's the story of David. Now, I love David because God loved him so much. And if you you read on in the story of David, he wasn't going to get to build the temple because of the blood on his hands, and his son Solomon's going to build the temple. But God says to Solomon, you cannot build the temple until your father has died. And I've thought about this, and you know, the presence of God came down into that temple. But you know, David wouldn't have been able to go into the Holy of Holies because he was governance and leader and that. And you know, God could not give up that face-to-face relationship with David. He loved him so much. Really touches my heart that God could just love a man that got it wrong so many times, but he loved his heart, and he said to Solomon, you can't build the temple until David is gone, because I cannot give up meeting with David face to face every day. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And you know, it's the only part of the Bible where God met with somebody face to face. And that's what he has given us the opportunity with Jesus Christ, to come to our God face to face. And you know, we should take that opportunity every time. This morning I was late because I turned on worship and I just started reading my Bible, and I went someplace that I don't know where I went, but half an hour went instead of 5 minutes, and I was late. You know, there's nothing like the presence of God. And this David, you know, he'd killed Goliath, and then he comes before Saul. And Saul's carrying on how wonderful he is. You know how you meet people like that in your life? You know, they're telling you how great they are, you know, and what they've done. And in chapter 18, 1 Samuel 18 says, And it was so, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house. That's David. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David. You know, that's like the father and the prodigal son taking. See, the son had nothing, and the father put the robe on him. Here, David had nothing. He was just a little shepherd boy. And Jonathan took his kingly robes, because he was the heir after Saul. He took off his robe and he put it over David. And he gave to David his armor, even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And you know, David gave him nothing there. And it says that they walked covenant together. You know, Jonathan did something really amazing there. He recognized the anointing on David's life. You know, we need to open our eyes, church. We're kings. We're children of the King. And God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us discernment, and he's given us so many things. And if we just open our eyes and see, Jonathan saw this on David. He saw the anointing to be the next king. And that was rightly his. He could have taken him out the back, actually, and chopped his head off and said, no, I'm the next king. But he recognized them because here was Jonathan. And they don't talk about it much, that Jonathan was a man of God. He recognized the worship and the presence of God on David. And they walked covenant. And as they walked the figure eight, arm in arm. And they prayed, you are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. And after they had done that and prayed and walked that, then Jonathan took off his garment and put it on David, saying, you are the next king. You know, this is really powerful. I remember 40 years ago, it's over 40 years ago, when Don got saved, he led his best friend, Gary, to the Lord. And Gary's marriage broke up and he was quite a sad man for a while, so he used to spend all his spare time at our house. And one night, during our worship time we were having, Gary and Don walked this figure eight together and they prayed that prayer and they prayed that they would look after each other's family if something happened. I'm quite sure Gary thought that Don's going to kill himself and I'll be looking after Julia and the kids, because Don was the one that would stay down the longest with diving. The numerous times we'd take him to the hospital because we thought he had an embolism in his brain. That's Don. So, but then, right, they walked that and they prayed. Now, 7 years ago, Gary died of a heart attack. And many of you have probably met Sue Adams that comes down here, our friend. That's his wife. And they spent every Christmas with us. At Christmas, they come and stay. They have Christmas dinner. They have New Year with us. And then the family goes. Because we've walked covenant. Now, the powerful part was that Shane, Sue's youngest son, got married last weekend and we had the honour of going up and doing the wedding. Excuse me. And as we were going home, Shane and Henny walked on out, and as we were saying goodbye, Shane burst into tears and gave Don the biggest hug, and he said, "Thank you, Don. It was like having my dad here." You know, covenant is very powerful, and I think as the Western world, we don't actually recognize how powerful covenant is. And you don't recognize the covenant that God has made with you, that he has your back. If you pray and ask, he will answer. Sometimes it's in a different way to the way you want it, but he will answer. Because he's good and faithful God. And after David and Jonathan had prayed this prayer, off they went. And then Saul's running after David, wanting to kill him because he's jealous. You need to read the story. It's very powerful. And then if we go to 1 Samuel 20, when Saul has tried to kill David and he's running for his life, and he met with Jonathan out in the fields before he left. And it says in 1 Samuel 20:42, then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace." Now he is actually speaking a blessing over him. "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants.'" Now we're taking this a little bit further, church, that this blessing and this oneness isn't just for Jonathan and David. Now it's saying, on your descendants and my descendants there will be blessing forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And of course, I think David from here went to the cave of Adullam and sought God, and God restored him inside, and then he raised up this mighty army. You see, from this part, Jonathan didn't go with David. There was one thing about Jonathan. He was a man of honor. He actually put his mantle, he put everything on David, he blessed him, and then he went back to his father, and he served his father with honor. Great man of character and integrity. These guys, these mighty men of God, if you actually look at their character, it's huge. And it's something that we all aspire to be like. And then it says in 1 Samuel 31:6 that Saul and his sons all died on the battlefield together in one day. See, one man brought blessing, another man brought a curse. And then we're moving on, we're getting to the good part. And then in 2 Samuel 9, now David is crowned, he's in the city, he is king over everything. And he's sitting there one day and he says in his court, Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul? See the honor on he's giving to a man who didn't deserve honor, but he recognized the anointing that God had put on Saul. He never would kill Saul. And even after death, David says, is there anyone left of the house of Saul? But listen to this. That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. The oneness of heart and love. See, everything hasn't been perfect. Saul chased after David, tried to kill him for many years, did horrible things. Who's had things said about you that aren't right and you just can't say anything, you can't prove you're right, get any justice. But you see, God brings it. And as David is sitting on that throne, he says, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant called Ziba from one of Saul's servants, and he says, there is a son of Jonathan who is lame, whose name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. How about that? Oh my goodness. Aren't you pleased we don't name our children like that now? And they brought him to David and he fell on his face, prostrate before him. Isn't that amazing that everybody thought that David was going to kill him? And then David says, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. Remember the prayer back there, the generations? And will restore, listen to this, and I will restore to you the land of Saul, your grandfather. So he got everything restored to him. When you walk in oneness of heart, one the spirit, kindness, everything will be restored to you that was yours one day. And you shall eat continually at my table. And then it even gets better. How about this? Then he says to Ziba and his family, his servants, and he says, you will go out and work the land for Mephibosheth. You will bring the income into him, but he will stay in my house and sit continually at my table. You see, when you do it right, there comes a generational blessing. One heart, one passion, united in love. See, if you do it in kindness. You know, we've made covenant with Jesus Christ. He covers us with the robe of righteousness. Undeserved. It's all been paid for. We just have to make that decision. We've been made heirs with Christ. We can sit at the Father's house continually. You know, there's nothing like worship. If you don't do it, I really challenge you. Put on some worship and just sit. And let the love of God come over you. The blessing isn't just for us. It's for our children and our children's children. And heaven celebrates. It parties at our homecoming, like the father did when the prodigal son came home. There are parallels right through the Old Testament to what Jesus has done for us. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer you. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. You see, salvation is about our redemption. And we're made to be heirs with Christ. But living as disciples is about glorifying him, using our gifts not to get what we want to do and to make us look good, but accomplishing his mission to bring heaven to earth and that the whole earth would be saved. That is God's mission for us. We need to get over our small-mindedness and fulfill his huge plan together. Life is more exciting when we do something bigger than ourselves. If we keep ourselves focused down into our small little world, we will get bored and depressed, I assure you. But if we look at the bigger picture, and how do we do this? In Ephesians 5, it explains it really clearly what the new person's life looks like. So in verse 22, it says, we put off the old nature. It's a decision we have to make, reacting. Reacting like I want to look like the big boy and just being kind when the person doesn't deserve kindness. And don't you worry, sometimes I clench my fist and I just really want to sock somebody, but I choose to smile and walk in grace. And the more we do it, the other reaction doesn't elevate itself so much. In verse 23, it says, renew our minds. You know, if we don't open this book, we're never going to be changed. It's the most powerful weapon that's been placed on this earth because it's telling us to love our enemies, to do good to somebody who has done bad to you or ripped you off. Maybe if somebody's ripped you off some money, go and buy them a gift or something. Start changing and doing it a different way. Put on the godly man. So put on Jesus Christ. You know, it's so much nicer to be kind to somebody. You walk away feeling so good than walking away grumbling and angry. Speak truth with kindness. Encourage one another. Like, we can all see faults. You know, any dummy can see what somebody does wrong. Like, hello. But just to encourage somebody and speak who you see with your God eyes, who they could be, is far greater and so encouraging. And in verse 32, be kind, loving, forgiving, because Christ forgave you first. You know, I think there's some things going on in our nation that are far bigger than any shootings and that. There's some things. And I want good legacy for my children. Are you with me on that one? I want great things. But it's only going to change as I change here. This nation's only going to change with the goodness of Jesus Christ. Kindness, love, generosity. You know, it's great that Jacinda called the nation to pray. That was a good governance thing. But it wasn't her call to tell us how to pray. And we know that. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, it says, as obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, so you can be holy. And then it goes on in verse 17, you'll call out to God for help and he helps. Amen? He is a good father that way. He is a good father. But don't forget, he is also a responsible father. Remember you with your children. And won't let you get by with sloppy living. Will you let your children get by with sloppy living? With sloppy values? No. Our God is only disciplining us and teaching us because he's a good father. What it's saying is here is be diligent. And sometimes doing something beyond ourselves. Maybe you're not feeling well. Well, step out and do something that's beyond you. Because in 2 Chronicles it declares, if, can we have the worship team please? If my people who are called by my name, you can't do anything in your name. The power is in his name. You know, I was encouraged, actually I had to speak at She the other night, and I was thinking, what do I say? And Don's got recordings on his phone and with all this worship, and then there's this little voice going, hey Jesus. And he recorded one morning, I've got a special place, I sit in my room and out in the lounge and I read my Bible and that. And when Kaylee was little, she used to like to run there and get there before me and sit there, and she'd open my daily reading book and my Bible. And then it was really funny, I'd never told her this, but then she'd sit there and go, hey Jesus, like trying to get his attention. Hey, I'm here, I'm waiting, you know, you can do something. Are you praying? Hey, Jesus, I want your attention, Jesus. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, church, we need to be diligent because we are the front line. If things are going to change, we are the front line. We've got to stand up for our values. We've got to stand up in goodness and kindness. We are the front line for Jesus Christ in this nation at this time. We can't be lazy or sloppy. We can't hide. You know, it's so exciting when you put that out there that I'm a Christian. What can I do to help you? It changes your day and your life. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity, one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together in one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounding joy. God will smile upon you. What a beautiful picture. It doesn't take much, it doesn't cost you much to get God's heart, get his attention, and for him to smile upon you. As the team just comes and they play the final song, I'm going to open the altar up, because I think just in this last week, one heart, one passion, united in one love. If we could come and worship together this morning on the altar. If you want prayer, lift your hand up and one of the leaders will come along and pray for you. But why don't we just make that stand today, that declaration to God that I am choosing today to be one heart with the person sitting beside me. United in love, not promoting myself, but promoting him. Being diligent to be on the front line for him to change our world, because it's not just for us, it's for our children and it's for our children's children. We want them to live in God's homeland, New Zealand. It's a beautiful place. We should be proud of this place. We need to take ownership for our country and for each other, and stand for those who don't know him yet, because they are going to get to know him, because he loves them. So as the team leads us in this song, why don't you come in oneness and worship together.
Thank you for listening to that message. We really hope you enjoyed it and it impacted your life. Remember, let's not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Activate it in your life. If you want to hear more or you want to journey with us, just type in Inspire Church Albany on Spotify and click follow. That's all from us. Ka kite anō.